All right, so the ways in which users interact with their personal devices captures a lot of information about them. You can think of this as a phone or laptop accessing and storing files, pictures, etc. Of course, nowadays, interaction with your personal device extends well past just local device storage. In practice, these local devices act as portals to essentially limitless cloud storage, potentially detailing all aspects of a user's life. This can make them rich targets for authorities to search. We're concerned in this work with what we call the compelled access setting. In this setting, a physical authority compels the users to hand over device access, as well as disclose or enter any passwords in order to gain temporary access to user accounts. We see this type of compelled access arise in settings such as border crossings, airport security, or police checkpoints. These searches are particularly troublesome for journalists or dissidents who are traveling often and may be the targets of government surveillance. The concerns these users face are not just hypothetical. We've known about these types of threats and even built systems addressing compelled access since at least the mid-90s. In this work, we are motivated to revisit this setting because of the worrying trend of increasing compelled access searches and the lack of existing solutions to fit the evolution of personal device storage. Even in the US, just this year, the Department of Homeland Security released an updated border search directive that shows a larger than 50% increase in the number of electronic device searches. So to this end, we present Burnbox. The compelled access setting poses a threat to many different sensitive cloud applications. And in this work, we focus our scope specifically on securing cloud storage in the compelled access setting. So you can think about Burnbox as kind of like Dropbox, a cloud-backed file storage that has these additional features to protect file confidentiality in the face of compelled access. Burnbox allows users to selectively self-revoke access to sensitive files such that at the compelled access checkpoint, they can honestly comply with the authority by giving access to all credentials they have on their body and in their mind while still hiding sensitive file contents. We accompany our design by formalizing security notions for the compelled access setting and analyze our scheme within this framework. Finally, we report on an open source proof of concept prototype. All right, so to start, let's look at a previous solution designed for the compelled access setting to see where we think Burnbox's main improvements come. In deniable or steganographic file systems, a user maintains two keys, a real key and a duress key. The real key is used to unlock the user's real file system under which files are stored under normal activity. During compelled access, the user hands over the locked device, and when prompted for the password, the user gives the duress key. When the device is unlocked with the duress key, a fake file system is revealed containing only non-sensitive files. So despite these systems being around since the mid-90s, they aren't really widely used. We believe the reason for this is the high usability burden placed on the user to effectively deceive authorities in order to achieve security. First, the user must be able to maintain an entire file system of realistic-looking fake content. And secondly, and what we think most importantly, the user must be able to convincingly lie about the duress key. We believe the necessity of the user to actively lie to authorities incurs a huge psychological and acceptability barrier to the use of these systems. So given these limitations, in Burnbox, we choose to take a fundamentally different approach. First, our solution aims to decouple deception from security. We allow users to comply with authorities, honestly giving up all credentials available to them. A straw man solution to honest compliance, and what is quite common in practice, is completely wiping your device or using a burner device and destroying it ahead of time of the compelled access checkpoint. While obviously this is effective, this is an inconvenient solution that most users aren't going to want to do. Instead, what we might like is if users could selectively revoke access to just specific files that they deem sensitive. And even better would be if, instead of permanently removing access to the revoked files, it would be possible to restore access at some later time after the compelled access checkpoint, for instance. So these are features provided by Burnbox. With self-revocable encryption, a user can selectively revoke access to files such that when they hit the compelled access checkpoint, they honestly cannot provide access. The second point that differentiates Burnbox from previous work is that it is designed specifically for use with the cloud. Many of these previous systems were designed before the proliferation of cloud storage, and thus it's unclear how they would be adapted to this different setting. Burnbox's formal analysis handles passive cloud adversaries, and we leave open for future work how to handle active cloud attackers. So to be a little bit more specific, I'll quickly outline the threat model that we consider. The first threat we model is the cloud storage provider. We assume a passive cloud attacker that observes all traffic in and out, and most importantly, is assumed never to delete. This type of cloud content retention is not unreasonable to assume and can occur unintentionally. For example, just last year, a bug surfaced in Dropbox that restored some users' deleted content from over 8 years ago. Retention can also occur intentionally. At the time of the NSA's Prism Surveillance Program disclosure, Dropbox, Google, and Microsoft were all slated for inclusion. So then during compelled access, we assume the compelling agent has full access to the local device, including any user passwords. We focus primarily on hiding information stored persistently by the local device, a model that we think is reasonably approximated by the user rebooting their device before compelled access. And importantly, we also model the cloud storage provider and compelling agent as colluding parties, in which case the agent also has access to the user's entire cloud history. Finally, we also assume the existence of a place to store a key that is inaccessible to the compelling agent at all times and inaccessible to the user at least at the time of compelled access. So this extra assumption is necessary in order to achieve temporary revocation. In practice, the restoration cache may be a user's editor or lawyer or even an offline USB stick stored at home. If such a location does not exist, Burnbox is still able to provide secure deletion. So given this threat model, I'll now provide a high-level overview of Burnbox's design. On initialization, key material is created and stored in two places. Some key material is separated and stored locally on the device for normal activity, and another key is stored offline to be used for restoration of revoked files. The user can proceed with normal activity, adding and deleting files to cloud storage using only the key material stored locally. Prior to compelled access, the user can selectively delete and revoke sensitive files, again using only the key material stored locally. Here I show that the user has revoked file 2 and deleted file 3. Then during compelled access, the compelling agent has access to the device and local key material along with the cloud history, but not the restoration key. The deleted and revoked files cannot be accessed and are cryptographically indistinguishable. So at this point, the authority, of course, can know that Burnbox is installed and used and may ask the user about deleted or revoked files. How to respond is up to the user, but no matter what they say, Burnbox isn't revealing any information about the files. This is unlike solutions based on duress keys, which provide no guarantees if the user is honest. So this is an example of how Burnbox decouples deception from security, which we think is advantageous from a user's perspective. After compelled access, the user can restore access to revoke files through use of the restoration key, perhaps by phoning their editor or lawyer, or waiting to physically retrieve the key at home. So note that the revoked file 2 is restored, but the deleted file 3 is unrecoverable, even with the restoration key. So what were the main challenges in designing Burnbox? At the surface, the application behaves very similarly to conventional client-side encryption techniques for secure cloud storage. Encryption keys are derived for each file and stored locally, The encrypted file is then also stored on the cloud. Since only the encrypted file is sent across to the cloud, confidentiality of file names and content are preserved. The challenge then posed by compelled access is that the device state is handed over to the compelling agent, directly revealing the sensitive file name and indirectly revealing contents through the encryption key. So then the obvious solution is to simply delete rows of sensitive files prior to handing over the device for compelled access, denoted here by the grayed out text. And so this should work. However, there are two problems we need to address. First, how do we support temporary revocation of files? And second, actually ensuring that data is deleted from persistent storage is a hard and well-studied problem. With device access, it has been shown that data can be recovered through forensic analysis of the storage medium. So I'll walk through our solutions for each of these problems. First, to provide temporary revocation, perhaps unsurprisingly, we use public key encryption. The restoration key stored in the offline restoration cache is a secret key generated from a public key encryption scheme. The public key is stored locally on the device. We then also store a restoration ciphertext, which is simply the public key encryption of the file encryption key. Now, if we wanted to do a temporary revocation on F2, we would, like before, delete the file name and encryption key, but keep around the restoration ciphertext, which can later be decrypted to recover the encryption key. So in contrast, to perform a permanent deletion of F3, we would want to delete the whole row, including the ability to recover the file encryption key from the restoration ciphertext. So as a small note, in order to achieve restoration deletion obliviousness, we do not completely discard the restoration ciphertext for deleted files, but rather we keep a dummy around. If hiding the difference between revoked and deleted files is not needed for the user, then this extra storage for deleted files is not necessary. So next we'll look at how we're able to securely delete the content within the device state table. So to address this challenge, we adapt techniques from the secure deletion literature to augment the device state table into what we call an erasable index. File keys are stored by file name in an append-only table by insertion order. Each row is stored encrypted so as to hide the sensitive file name information. To ensure key material for deleted and revoked files are not accessible during compelled access, row keys are managed by a secure deletion mechanism which requires hardware support. And so trusted hardware is used here to manage a small, effaceable storage in which key material can be stored and certifiably wiped. Here, a master's key is stored in effaceable storage that is used to derive row keys in a tree structure. Row keys can be securely deleted by generating a new master key and re-encrypting the corresponding tree path. So to illustrate briefly how this works, consider the task of deleting row 1. In other words, how can we ensure that K1 can no longer be derived? So K1 is derived through the path of keys master key, K7, K5, to K1. We can't just wipe out this entire path, as the keys are used to derive row keys for other rows as well. K5 is used for row 2, and K7 is used for rows 3 and 4. So we still sample new master key prime, K7 prime, K5 prime. But before wiping the original master key from effaceable storage, we update the encryption of K6 and K2 with the newly sampled keys. Only then we can replace the effaceable storage and the encryptions of the key path without replacing the encryption for K1, thus losing the ability to derive it in the future. Okay, so the erasable index requires storage on the order of the number of files stored by Burnbox. And since, additionally, since all rows are stored encrypted by insertion order, search by file name requires decrypting row by row. In practice, these limitations turn out to be not major hindrances to usability. Only a small amount of key material is stored for each file, so client-side storage stays small up to millions of files. Linear time file name search is only incurred if reading directly from persistent memory. What actually happens is that this linear table decryption cost will be paid at device startup, and a decrypted index will be stored in memory for fast file name lookup in the future. Nevertheless, we had hoped that it would be possible to do something more sophisticated that would yield better asymptotic properties, such as constant client storage or more efficient, perhaps logarithmic file name search. While I investigated a number of seemingly applicable tools, such as puncturable pseudorandom functions and history-independent data structures, it turns out that these are targeting weaker threat models, and there's no clear way to adapt them to our harder setting. So in the end, we simply stuck with this perhaps asymptotically ugly, but in practice fine, erasable index. So as I've been saying, in our model, the adversary can observe a large amount of history through observation of cloud communication timings and forensic analysis of local device state. In our formal security analysis, which draws inspiration from the symmetric searchable encryption literature, instead of aiming to hide all history, we show that the history we do reveal is limited and protects sensitive file name and content information. Specifically, we show that Burnbox is secure up to a very specific form of access pattern leakage, which we call pseudonymous operation history. So simply put, what this means is that an attacker can observe the encrypted cloud traffic and device state in order to infer operations associated with the file, for example, when that file was added and when that file was subsequently accessed, but does not learn the sensitive file names or contents. So in other contexts, access patterns have been shown to lead to damaging inference attacks. However, these attacks have typically been on much more structured data. It's an open question what the effectiveness of inference attacks would be on coarse data like file accesses. We discuss this more in the paper. So we implemented a prototype of Burnbox as a file system in user space, which can be mounted within a cloud directory such as Dropbox and then easily slotted in for use with applications. In terms of performance, our prototype is very high-performant, using primarily symmetric client-side encryption. It scales well despite the client-side linear complexities. In terms of security, our formal security analysis is about the algorithms underlying just this blue box and what it writes to persistent storage and to the cloud. For this, we achieve strong security guarantees. But Burnbox doesn't work in a vacuum, so we need to consider the compelled access security of applications in the underlying operating system. Unfortunately, commodity operating systems and applications are currently not designed for our threat model. And so while we necessarily kept these out of our scope for our formal analysis, we still make a best effort in our prototype to address some of these leaks. Some examples of our mitigations include memory locking pages, restricting applications that users deem as risky or untrusted to containers and RAM disk, and providing guidelines for common OS configurations like recently used lists and OS-wide indices. In the end, these mitigation strategies provide some defenses, but they are not exhaustive. We think a really important and necessary direction for future work is building operating systems that provide the abstractions needed for compelled access security with stronger guarantees. In the meantime, Burnbox provides a significant step forward in improving privacy despite these limitations. So, in conclusion, we present Burnbox, a system for cloud-based file storage in the compelled access setting. Burnbox takes a different approach from previous solutions. Instead of relying on deception, through self-revocation, Burnbox allows its users to honestly comply with compelled access authorities while still providing confidentiality for sensitive files. We formalize security notions for the compelled access setting and show our CM secure with respect to a well-specified access pattern leakage. Finally, we report on and open source a proof-of-concept prototype. So while it has various limitations due to operating system and application leakage, Burnbox provides a foundation for building devices that resist compelled access search. Thank you.
Well, I really appreciate your, you know, this separation, because lying to people who can compel you to do things is usually a bad idea. But I am a little skeptical about the threat model, in that you're being compelled by somebody who can also require your credentials for everything. But you're assuming that they can't ask you where you have your restoration keys stored, or that they won't be able to get at those?
That's right. So this is true. In order to support temporary revocation, there has to be some secret somewhere that this compelled access agent doesn't have access to at the time of compelled access. We're not saying the user has to be able to hide where their key is stored. They can be very open about, I don't have access to these files, but my editor does, or my lawyer does, for instance, and you may have to take it up with them at that point if you need to get access to these files.
Hello, Ingolf Becker, University College London. Thank you for the very clear and concise talk. However, I just missed it, but at what stage does the person revoke or delete the files? Is this a process that I can do months before I get the compelled
Yeah, that's right. So the question was about when the user should be going through this process of selectively revoking and deleting files. And so this process is very fast. It can be done just immediately before the compelled access checkpoint. But it does have to be done before the compelled access checkpoint. So like a surprise police search or something like that, where you weren't able to go through the revocation process, Burnbox would not provide any protection in that case.
So I would have to do it speculatively before entering, maybe, say, crossing a border.
That's right.
Then if the checkpoint didn't happen, then I could not access the data anyway.
That's correct, yeah.
Hello, my name is Bobo. I'm from Facebook. This was a great talk. Following up on that previous question, have you considered whether and how to securely store the following metadata? Could I essentially tag which files I wanted to be revoked in case of a surprise search, such that on like a specially coded restart, like I restart and hold the volume down key or something like that, that process is initiated for me so that I have something in the surprise context?
Yeah, sure. So essentially, I mean, even in that case, you're pressing and holding some button before handing it over. So you're doing something before the compelled access setting. So you could have, programmed some like quick button that you can press that revokes files that you've grouped together as sensitive. That would be something that I think would be plausible.
Have you thought about how that adds to the threat model? Would you just store it locally and not have that context shared with the cloud storage provider, basically the revoke list? Thank you.
Yeah, we haven't thought about that specifically, but I do think that would be a natural extension to grouping revoked files together.
So really interesting talk. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about history independence for the data. So the fact that it's deleted doesn't mean you can't prove it was there. And I was just skimming your paper, and you talk a little bit about it, but I was wondering if you could just say a little bit more.
So the question was on the
history independence of the data. So proving that the file never existed in the first place, is that something you can...
So your question is, does Burnbox have these kinds of properties?
Yeah, exactly. So
Burnbox doesn't have these properties in our threat model. The adversary can see the fact that you've been adding files to the cloud. They can see these encrypted files in the cloud that they're not able to decrypt based on the credentials on your phone. So they see the existence of these files that are either deleted permanently or temporarily revoked.
Thank you.